Now, Mother's Day is on Sunday. If you're scrambling to plan a special meal for mom, don't worry. We've got you covered. It's Food Friday. Today, it's all about the moms. A lot of us might have fond memories of growing up cooking with our mothers or that one recipe that no one else could make quite right. Mother's Day is the day we can show our appreciation with a good, maybe Sunday brunch. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you and your family celebrate Mother's Day with food? What makes a great Mother's Day meal? Does it have to be brunch? If you're a mom, what's your favorite food or recipe to have someone maybe make for you on Mother's Day? And hey, I'm trying to figure out what to make for my wife and mother-in-law on Sunday, and they're a tough crowd. No, I'm just kidding. They're very easygoing. But I do need ideas. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Katie Workman is a food writer for the Associated Press and contributor to Food 52 and TheKitchen.com. She's the author of the cookbooks Dinner Solved and The Mom 100 Cookbook. Her website is themom100.com. She's a mom herself. Katie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
Okay, let's start with that question. You know, when we think Mother's Day, I think we think Mother's Day brunch. Do you have a preference for brunch being the meal of Mother's Day?
You know, it's funny. I do think that often people sort of default to the brunch thought, but dinners also, lunches and dinners are also very popular. And I think, you know, much of it might depend on which time of the day you and your mom can get together. And, you know, then you also have the idea that there might be possibly more than one celebration because, you know, if you are a mother, you might hope that your children might do something for you. And if you are lucky enough to still have your mother, you might also want to do something for her. So I don't know that we should limit it to one meal. We've got 24 hours.
All right. Now, say we're in a routine where we do the same type of meal every year for Mother's Day. How can we mix it up this year if we want to?
Well, I think that often it's kind of fun to sort of take this moment to explore a different cuisine. And maybe it's someplace that your mom's always wanted to go, or maybe someplace that you've traveled with your mom and you want to sort of recreate those, some favorite dishes or some favorite flavors. That's a nice way to sort of go about it. For me, my mom actually became vegetarian several years ago. So for the meal part that I will be making for her, I will be, you know, creating a mostly vegetarian meal and also some meatier aspects for the other people in our gang.
Now, mom isn't always the main cook in a house. Like, I'm kind of the lead cook in our household. But for the situation, maybe somebody's listening saying, okay, yeah, she usually makes the dinners and brunches and whatnot. I want to give it a go. What are some simple things for that person who might not be the head chef in their own household?
Well, it's getting towards grilling season, depending on where you live in the country.
We're in Wisconsin. It's always grilling season.
So, and there's definitely hardcore grillers. I mean, if you are not, you know, the most adept cook, you can certainly pick up, you know, marinate some chicken or pick up a really good steak. Or if your mom's vegetarian, you can just get some beautiful vegetables and throw those on the grill. You really don't need anything more than a set of tongs, some salt, some olive oil, maybe some lemon juice, and you can, you know, just kind of look up cooking times and eyeball it, and, you know, just that's really simple. I also am a huge fan of grain salads. I think that, you know, just cooking up grains, which for the most part is no more difficult than cooking up a pot of rice or making pasta, and then using those grains and adding in vegetables, maybe dried fruit, making a nice vinaigrette. And I love to mix a lot of, sometimes I mix grains into, you know, green salads as well to give it a little bit more heft and more interest. So one of the dishes that I know I'm going to make some variation of this weekend is a kale and quinoa salad with dried cherries. And for that, all you have to do is you cook up your quinoa, which is 15 minutes, basically start to finish. And then you just do like kind of a pulsed mixture of parsley and mint and kale and scallions and, you know, some lemon juice and olive oil. And you just toss that together and throw in a few handfuls of dried cherries or cranberries. That's like if you want, you know, to add that little punch of sweet, tart, dried fruit. But it's such a flexible thought. You know, it's really, you can substitute any grains in. You can mix and match the herbs and the vegetables. you can just, you know, really play around with things that you might already have on hand.
It's Food Friday, and hey, good news. Our guest shared that recipe for kale and quinoa salad with dried cherries. We've got it up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Katie Workman is with us. She's written the cookbooks Dinner Solved and the Mom 100 Cookbook. Our theme today is getting ready for Mother's Day on Sunday, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about what to make on Sunday or how to make it, or if you want to share your menu for Mother's Day with us, love to hear it. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Katie, you shared another recipe with us, and I gotta say, this one, it is on my maybe list for Sunday. A lazy oven French toast casserole. Like, I like making bread puddings, and this is kind of in the ballpark of a bread pudding almost. Tell us about this lazy oven French toast casserole.
Yes. I mean, I always sort of roll my eyes at my own recipe name because, of course, it's not your oven that's lazy. It's kind of maybe us. But, you know, the whole point of this casserole is, you know, everybody loves French toast and it's such a perfect Mother's Day brunch dish. But making individual slices of French toast for everybody can be time consuming and kind of, you know, take away from being at the table together. So this is basically like a strata or bread pudding, as you said. And it's layers of challah, or you could use brioche. I love an egg-based bread in a French toast situation. It's just, it provides so much flavor. And you just slice it up, let it dry out a bit, and then you layer it with, you know, your basic mixture of sort of milk and eggs and a little bit of sugar, maple syrup, some cinnamon, touch of vanilla, and you layer it up again. You can throw some dried fruit or nuts into it if you want. And you just you soak the bread in the custard mixture and cover it and throw it in the fridge overnight. And then the next morning you pull it out and you preheat the oven and you put it in the oven. And while you're doing that, you can put out some bowls of berries or, you know, some maple syrup, some softened butter, and, you know, pour some fresh squeezed orange juice. And when the casserole comes out, everybody can sit down and eat at the same time.
And let's talk about the premeditated angle of this, because when I do make my bread pudding types of things, I just mix them up and throw them in the oven. What am I going to get if I let it sit overnight?
It's just the bread is going to soak up everything. Nice. It's, you know, you don't have to let it sit overnight. You could let it sit for an hour or two. But, the point being, of course, if you want to get up in the morning and just have it ready to go in the oven and not have to start, you know, mixing and blending and fussing in the morning, you'll have it all done. But a couple hours will do it, and it just gives that bread, you know, it just saturates the bread. So you have that incredible, I mean, the top gets this beautiful kind of puffy crust, but the middle is like just creamy and completely delicious.
That sounds great. Now, I think a lot of people talk about the influence of cooking with a parent, a mom, and what they've learned from them and maybe passing to the next generation. We talk about that sometimes on Food Friday. Do you have things like that that you're like, yeah, I got this from my mom, and or passing it on to your own kids?
Yeah, my mom was a really good cook. She was a very intuitive cook, and she was a pretty adventurous cook too. And she had some dishes that she had like project dishes that she would make for company. She made I remember, like, on special occasions, she would make a paella, which was, like, back in those days, it was really rare to come to somebody's home and have a paella served to you, and it probably still is. I can't think of that many paellas that have been served in somebody's home. And so she would, you know, really, you know, she'd have the saffron and the right rice and the seafood and, you know, just really sort of layer it up. But even now, she starts with a recipe and kind of just starts throwing things together. And she's just got a really good feel for ingredients and sort of experimentation. And I feel like that rubbed off on my sister and myself too.
Now, I got to say, having had little kids once upon a time, they're, you know, in college now, but adventurous was not always the word they were looking for in my cooking.
No.
Predictable and routine, I think.
Yes.
Did you find ways to get kids to appreciate those adventures and experiments?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just so much of it has to do with exposure, just having kids feel familiar with you know, different flavors, whether they're being trying them at a restaurant or you're experimenting a little more at home. And it's just, it's repeated exposure and the sort of like getting comfortable and not sort of sticking to your rut, which of course puts your kids in a rut, but you know, and being patient. I mean, there's a lot of ways to go about this. There's the, you know, take one bite rule. There's the, you know, and you figure out what works for your family. But I mean, I'm not a proponent of you're going to eat everything on your plate or you're not leaving the table. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I think that tends to backfire, but just, you know, this, I'm not putting so much pressure on things. And I always think of this one dinner where my kids were really little and they were sitting at a table and there was a bunch of teenagers in our group and they were all just happily eating. I remember it was a curried squash, butternut squash, I think, soup or a pumpkin soup. Ooh. And my kids just sat there and they just like ate the soup along with these kids because they just like weren't going to, they didn't want to look like the picky little kids at the big kid table. So if you can just sort of like, again, keep exposing them and sort of make food feel like something that's sort of joyful and, you know, fun to try and just keep at it and try not to like engage in the control thing. You know, it's really hard as a parent. I'm the first to say, but the more pressure you put on your kids to eat certain things or be adventurous, it tends to become a rebellious moment because little kids especially don't have all that much control in their life. One thing they really can control is what they put on their fork and put in their mouth. So, you know, if you don't engage in sort of the power struggle, it often becomes less of a power struggle.
We're talking to food writer and cookbook author Katie Workman about Mother's Day meals for this week's edition of Food Friday. Katie's the author of Dinner Solved and the Mom 100 Cookbook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. On a practical level, do you need advice for your upcoming Mother's Day meal, or do you want to share your plans, maybe your tradition? Is there something that happens every year on Mother's Day? And what influence did maybe your own mom have on your cooking? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Katie Workman, author of the cookbooks Dinner Solved and the Mom 100 Cookbook. She's a food writer also for the Associated Press. She's with us today on Food Friday to help us cook a great meal for Mother's Day. Katie gave us a couple recipes, a kale and quinoa salad, and this awesome-sounding oven-baked French toast arrangement. Find those at WPR.org/Food Friday, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a mom, what is the best Mother's Day meal that's ever been served to you, whether it was a big fancy production or maybe a bowl of cereal lovingly prepared by a two-year-old? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know your traditions, what's on your menu for Sunday, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Adrian on Facebook who writes, "My mom's been gone for nearly 50 years, but she taught me most of what I know, from how to make bread to turning me loose with a cookbook to cook for 40 people. Still love the old favorites like cinnamon rolls. No written recipe. It was a given that you could make these. But like to explore recipes from all over. A great gift from my mom." And Katie, that no written recipe reminds me. I've definitely had family members where they might try to teach you to cook something. Mm-hmm. It might not be written down somewhere. Have you found good ways to convey those kind of traditional family recipes that were just winging it in some cases?
I know, and I will say, in general, the best sort of cooks, the moms and the grandmothers, and this is true, like Jewish, Italian, Mexican, like every, you know, the best cooks often don't have a recipe, and they eyeball everything, and they don't even have measurements to share. So I've had many friends be like, you know, and I was trying to watch my Nona, and she did, you know, she was throwing in a handful, and I was like, wait, how much Parmesan is that? And there's rarely an answer, like, you know. It's just, so I think, you know, if you are lucky enough to have one of these cooking teachers in your life, then, you know, taking the time to sort of show up in the kitchen, bring a pad and a pen or your computer and just say, you know, I'd love to try to like slow it down and capture this so that I can, you know, have this recipe forever. And I, you know, by and large, most people are pretty flattered and excited to think that their recipes are going to live on and, you know, prosper after they're gone. So it's really a worthy thing to do. And I have a ginger snap recipe that was my great grandmother's, and I'm sure it really wasn't hers. I don't think she created it, but you know, it's really nice to think that your ginger snaps are, you know, if not the same, based similar to the ones that your great, it was my great grandmother actually. So, you know, these, you know, there's still a lot of people also have these wonderful collections of recipe cards or things that they've ripped out of newspapers over the years. And I love it when I sometimes buy an old cookbook, like at a thrift store or flea market, and then inside the cookbook, there's some handwritten recipes tucked in between the pages. Mm. And you just, there's just something so personal about it. And you just can sort of like vaguely imagine somebody clipping something in 1970 and, you know, tucking it into their Betty Crocker book or whatever.
Adrian, thanks for sharing that story over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. It's Food Friday, talking to Katie Workman, author of Dinner Solved and the Mom 100 Cookbook, getting ideas for Mother's Day. Still time for your comments on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday, and still time for you to call in if you like at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Katie, I know a lot of times there will be a tradition of bringing the kids, maybe littler kids, in to help with a Mom's Day meal. What are some good things that kids could really, you know, feel a sense of accomplishment helping out in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. Both cookbooks, both in the Mom 100 and Dinner Solved, in for each recipe, I give advice on what the kids can help do, because I do agree that it is super important to bring them into the kitchen. The earlier, the better. And even if they're not really that helpful at the beginning, you know, you're sort of paying it forward so that when they get older, they'll have that confidence and hopefully just also an appreciation for food. And kids are very much more likely to try something if they've had a hand in making it. So that's another reason to get the kids there. And, you know, just thinking about age-appropriate tasks, you know, like obviously bigger kids who are more adept in the kitchen can do a lot, but little kids, they can, you know, say you need some fresh herbs, you can ask them to pull the oregano leaves off the stem or crack an egg or measure flour or whisk something. You know, be careful about heat and knives, of course, and supervise, you know, unless you are 100% positive that your kid is capable of doing a particular task, don't, you know, take your eyes off them. But really, we all know the mother, in my case, you know, me, I don't care what they make me. That's the truth. I really don't care. I just, you know, especially when they're little, it's just like, it's so just delightful to have your kids sort of do something like that for you. And hopefully also with the help of maybe your partner, remember to clean up, because nothing takes away from the joy of a Mother's Day meal like a sink full of dirty dishes. I can tell you that right now. But, you know, it really truly is kind of the thought that counts. And, you know, yes, you want to try to pick something that you know your mom's going to like. And, yes, you want to put a little bit of attention in it. You know, try to make the meal visually appealing as well as tasty. But I don't think there's been a mom who has had a Mother's Day meal prepared for her with the help of her children who's ever been like, well, that stunk.
Funny. Let's bring on a caller now. Susie is with us in New Berlin. Susie, hi.
Hi. This is kind of a bittersweet story, but when my sister many years ago had ovarian cancer and was fairly sure that she wasn't going to make it through. And so that year, when she had a lot of time to sit and think, she was a really good cook and could like look at what was in the refrigerator and make something out of it. Mm. And but she never wrote any of those things down. So she tried to think of all of the meals that she had made that the kids really liked that her husband really liked, all of that, and she wrote them all down so that all three of them would have them. And, I mean, her kids were in fifth grade and seventh grade. They were cooking by that time, but, you know, they still have them today, and they're in their late 30s.
Wow. Susie, thank you so much for sharing that. And, Katie, that really speaks to the memories we can attach to the food that that our parents, our moms in this case, make.
Yeah, Susie, thank you so much for sharing that. And it is like such a very personal little legacy to leave your kids, and so thoughtful of her to do that. And I'm sure it means so much to them to have these recipes now, and to, you know, especially if, you know, when they were, you know, when she passed, if they were really little, they might sort of have the memories of these dishes, but they might be sort of fuzzier. So to have this written down so that they can sort of recreate some of it is just beautiful.
Susie, thanks so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. Katie, in just our last few moments, do you know what's on menus, whether the part you're making or the part that's being made for you on Sunday?
Well, I am hoping that breakfast is not my problem, and that my kids and my husband show up in some way for that. And then in the afternoon, actually, I'm speaking to Susie's sort of bittersweetness. I just lately have had a number of family members and friends lose their mothers in the past recent weeks, even, and months. And so we're actually, it's very nice. We're getting together with some very good family friends, one of whom has just lost his mom. And he called me and he said, can we have Mother's Day with you and your mom this year? And we do a lot together, so it wasn't sort of out of the blue, but I said, absolutely. So, you know, so we're sharing my mom. We're sharing my mom this year.
That's lovely. Katie, thanks so much for joining us. That's Katie Workman, food writer, author of the cookbooks Dinner Solved and the Mom 100 Cookbook. She joined us for Food Friday for Mother's Day. Find a couple of her recipes online at WPR.org/Food Friday.